You are listening to the Through the Stage Door with the Majestic Theater on WMNH 95.3. We're a bi-weekly program that celebrates what's happening at the Majestic Theater, as well as the musical sounds coming from the Ted Herbert Music School. For more information about the Majestic Theater or the Ted Herbert Music School, you can simply give us a call at 669-7469 or visit us on the web at www.majestictheater.net. My name is Robert Dion. I'm the Artistic Director of Majestic Theater, and as well as the Administrator for Ted Herbert's. We are trying the Facebook Live thing again. I don't know that it's working, but we will find out after, I guess. But in the studio today, I have members of the production of Judy's Scary Little Christmas. Welcome writer and director Jim Weber.
Hi there.
And welcome to Kath Palmer, who's in the show.
Hello.
And Judy's Scary Little Christmas happens at the Majestic Studio Theater. Thursday, December 5th at 7, Friday, December 6th at 7, Saturday, December 7th at 2 and 7, and Sunday, December 8th at 2. 5 shows in 4 days.
One weekend only.
So I wanted to just jump right in. So you can get tickets for that, obviously, online at majestictheater.net, or give us a call because you can save on online fees that way. Jim, tell us a little bit about Judy's Scary Little Christmas.
Well, Judy's Scary Little Christmas is a fun alternative Christmas show. It's basically billed as a holiday special because it's sort of a spoof of TV specials of yesteryear. And this is going way back to like the 50s and early 60s when Christmas specials would have sort of a gang of Hollywood stars get together and pretend in the studio, of course, at CBS on a set that they're having Christmas in someone's home and trying to act like they're just plain folks, you know? And we wanted to get a fun group of stars together, starting out, of course, with Judy Garland. And Judy Garland is a person who's known for singing in The Wizard of performing The Wizard of Oz and all these movies in the 30s and 40s. She went on to have a concert career, but she had kind of a troubled past, as we know from the movie that recently came out, Judy, with Renee Zellweger. But this is a little bit before that in her life and in terms of comebacks. So we wanted to make the show basically as though Judy is having a comeback TV special and inviting all these stars to be with her. There are some secrets in the show, and some things happen as the show goes along, and some surprises occur, and they have a surprising Christmas guest. And it actually tends to follow a path that might be familiar with people that know either A Christmas Carol or maybe even some episodes of The Twilight Zone. It gets a little bit spooky and strange. So it is a fun show, but it's a fun show. Really, it's a Christmas show for adults, I would say, and adults in a good way. They enjoy it. There's a lot to laugh at. And there are many different stars and celebrities involved who kind of represent the period, like Bing Crosby and Ethel Merman and who else do I have?
We want to make sure we get the whole cast.
That's right. We want to get everyone in, don't we?
So this show has Judy Garland in it, played by Sheree Owens.
That's correct.
Bing Crosby, played by Rich Hurley. Liberace himself, well, a man playing Liberace, Michael Coppola. Mm-hmm. And Katie Collins is playing Ethel Merman. Aaron Campagna is Richard Nixon. Barbara Webb is Joan Crawford. Glenn Grimard is Death in the Director.
That's right.
Sure about that. I may have to ask you about that one. And then we also have an ensemble including Sam Durfee, Dennis Brunel, Julia Fernandez-Turk, Donna O'Brien, and Ryan Quinlan. I can't forget Kath Palmer, who's sitting right across from me, who's playing Lillian Hellman. Kath, tell us a little bit about yourself.
As Lillian?
As yourself.
As myself. Well, I'm an actor for the last 20 or so years in community theater and on both coasts. I've done some stand-up that was well-received on the West Coast and got to do some great productions, both musical and straight theater, as we say. And also did the theater and arts beat for a local newspaper for many years. And I'm very excited to be in this show. I've heard nothing but good things about this show for 9 years. And I was just happy that my talented playwright friend Jim Weber here was bringing it back to the stage just to see it. So the fact that I get to be in it is super thrilling for me.
All right, and if you're joining us on Facebook Live, we do have the Facebook Live working. It's kind of cutting off half of us, but at least you get the idea. We're going to try to do the Facebook Live every time we record one of these shows. You can also hear the show online completely on our website at www.majestictheater.net, as well as it's played on Sunday on WMNH 95.3 if you're in the Manchester area at 12 noon. So tell us a little bit about your character in the show.
Well, I'm not sad that I'm being cut off because I definitely have a face for radio today, and I'm going to be using it to full effect as Lillian Hellman, who was a popular, if not slightly controversial writer of the 40s, 50s era. She's best known for her prize-winning play, The Little Foxes, but she wrote The Children's Hour, Toys in the Attic, Candide, and made a name for herself as a playwright and in Hollywood and adaptations of films and that stuff. But then there started to be whispers in the Red Scare era with the "Are you now or have you ever been a communist member of the Communist Party?" And Lillian Hellman got kind of dragged along through the mud in that, and it affected her career quite a bit. And she got a little bitter and started rewriting her history a little bit with some perhaps fictionalized autobiographies. So she also took a ration of grief for that as well. So she's an interesting little bit sardonic character that I get to barely act to play.
So you've done some stuff in Nashville, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are some past shows that you've done?
Well, I've been a member of the Actor Singers Party.
Wow, that's so official.
Thank you.
That sounds so official.
Well, I was trying to be, do my Nixon for you. I've done a lot of shows for about 25 years with Actor Singers. The most recent was in May. I was in their production of Mamma Mia, which was, I believe, the first community version in New Hampshire.
Well, it was. Yeah. They were the first to get it, just like we were the very first to get Elf, the musical, this year, and only the second to get Judy, right?
Second production in New Hampshire.
Jim, talk a little bit about the history of the production of Judy. You are one of the writers.
Right, I'm one of the writers. David Church is my writing partner on this. We met when we were at Emerson College many years ago, and we were in the West Coast. We were writers out there, and David writes novels for young people. He also writes screenplays, and we had written a number of things on spec. And finally, when we wrote this show, we decided to try to find a producer, had a little trouble, and then we decided to produce it ourselves. We borrowed money from parents and friends. We put it on, and we made all the money back the first year.
And what was the year that you did
that? That was 2002, and we made all the money back. And then we did it again the next year in 2003, and we made a profit for ourselves, which was even great. The show has been picked up and done around the country maybe about 10, 11, 12 times. And it finally got published by Samuel French Publishers, Play Publishers. And so it is in their catalog now. And if people want to do it, it is available. But it's a fun alternative show. People, there are great productions of A Christmas Carol. And you don't have to sell me. I love A Christmas Carol. I love Scrooge. But
you only need to see it once.
Well, and that's the thing, too. And I'm always, I say I support all the theaters because there's room in this town or even New Hampshire for all of us.
Right.
All 100 plus of us.
Yes.
There's a lot of us. But, I always say, it's some people going to see like A Christmas Carol or either the Concord version or the Palace version.
Yep.
And that's like a family tradition. And that's
right.
Great.
And they're all different, too.
Yeah,
they all
still
have their
do
own
that.
Thing,
but also, I feel like at Majestic, especially this year, we're giving you two other options of other things that you can do in addition to maybe your traditional Christmas Carol. Judy's Scary Christmas obviously is a great one. And also we have Elf the Musical, which we'll be talking to cast members on our next radio show. That happens the following weekend, the 13th through the 15th of December at the Derry Opera House. And we'll talk more about that next show. But if you're just joining us, we're talking with members of the production of Judy's Scary Little Christmas, happening at the Majestic Studio Theater on Page Street in Manchester, December 5th through the 8th. For tickets, call 669-7469 or visit us on the web at www.majestictheater.net. With me today is Jim Weber, who is one of the writers as well as the director of our production. We also want to make sure we shout out to our musical director, Jed Holland, and our choreographer, Martha Daniels Holland, who have joined us for this production. And they are huge actor singers people. Mm-hmm. So I've worked with them on many different things. It's great to have them on this project. So, and I think the good thing about Judy, too, is we bring in people that have done Majestic stuff before, as well as a lot of new people,
yes,
which is great.
Yes.
You know, and that's the good thing is, obviously, we do so many shows. It's nice
right.
to build that network of actors.
Right, right.
So what made you – so I know you talked to me a couple years ago about wanting to bring Judy back to the stage.
Correct.
And I think we talked about it quite a few
well,
times.
Well, yeah,
it was probably because of all my nagging, wasn't it?
Oh, okay.
That was indeed part of
that
it.
That was part of it.
It was part of it, yeah. And but it certainly was. It certainly helped bring your name up when I was thinking of casting. Who is this woman who's bothering me?
I just wanted to sit in the front row.
But no, it really was a matter of the space. Many people in New Hampshire with different theater groups have talked to me about it, and they thought, oh, this is so fun. I would love to see it done here.
And it's not a big theater show, though.
Yeah, it's not intimate. A big theater show. It is basically designed to be a quote-unquote sort of off-Broadway show. So really, it couldn't be in a space like bigger than 500, and it kind of has to be maybe a little bigger than 100. And it's very hard in New Hampshire to find mid-sized theaters, you know? There are very, very few of them. Although recently, there seem to be a number of them opening up.
Yeah.
But when I saw the Majestic space, I thought, this is finally a perfect space for this, because it is a funky, fun, alternative show, and you want the audience, even though it's not late night, it's only 7 o'clock or 2 p.m. matinee, you want them to have this feel that they're in on a kind of a fun, funky joke.
Like they're the
you know?
Studio audience.
Yeah.
Almost, yeah.
And it's like a little TV special in a little TV studio being shot, and you want them to feel that they're kind of in on the joke. And the wonderful space at Majestic Studio Theater fits it perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
So
the other thing, too, is that obviously with this show, it's you're all playing actual people.
Yeah.
So what's that like? You know, it's not like you're playing, oh, I'm playing Susan Smith. You're playing Lillian Hellman, who is a real breathing person.
Yeah.
So what type of process do you as an actor, and then I'll send this off to Jim,
sure.
as an actor, what process do you use to kind of get to know her mannerisms, the history of Lillian Hellman, all that stuff?
Well, I will say this is the first time I have ever played, except for when I was in the Laramie Project. I mean, those were real people we were playing, but they were not celebrities at that point. You know, nobody knew what these people looked like or acted like, as you say. I know that my co-stars are doing copious amounts of research and watching old videos and reading biographies. And there, I know that a lot of us are doing a lot of online stuff. For me, I have had to, we're really trying right now to nail down the look of this gal, because she also has a face for radio, and I'm going to keep saying that same joke over and over again.
I would say rumpled. Yeah. Was the
She's
look,
she rolled out of bed and wrote some award-winning
well,
plays.
Well, you'll be glad to know that I finally worked out the bug of the Facebook Live. People are probably laughing at me at home as I'm moving the camera, and it's like, you know, an amateur VHS tape of your, and but we can see your face now, Kathy.
Well, that's fantastic.
So
hi,
if you
want
to see what Lillian Hellman looks like in 2019,
like this,
then go to
slightly tired.
Theater's Facebook page, and you'll see that.
Yes.
So, Jim, I know there was one other production in New Hampshire of this with Music and Drama Company. I think it was the last show that they did, actually.
Yes, it was. It was 2009. This is exactly 10 years later.
At
yeah.
the Court Street Theater.
Right, right.
And I saw their production, and I just remember just absolutely loving it. It was just such a fun evening of theater.
I've heard nothing but good things about this show from some of the pickiest people that you
are.
Might know.
But Jim, so obviously, you know, you run the risk on doing a show like you have someone playing Judy Garland.
Judy Garland.
And Judy
right.
Garland
yeah.
with the new movie and all that,
mm-hmm.
which we may or may not talk about,
mm-hmm.
is, you know, people know
yes.
Judy Garland, you know.
Right.
So how do you approach that as a director to get them to be almost believable or
well,
believable as these characters?
It is very tricky, and the cast knows that as well, especially for people that we really know exactly what they were like, and we have very good. I mean, Lillian people have less so, and when you and people who repeat tics and mannerisms, but she was a brilliant woman. She wasn't someone who said the same thing twice ever, you know? Mm-hmm. So she's a very much an original. So you almost have a little more freedom with her. But Judy Garland, Bing Crosby, it's tougher. I would look to cast people who were had physical types, who had, I knew, had the essence of the character in their range of acting tricks. But you also have to tape on the external behavior of that person on the things that they do. So they can't bring it all from inside. They also have to learn a voice. They have to learn mannerisms. They have to learn physical behavior. And that's something that they kind of tape on from the outside rather than do it from the feelings that they that the character has in the play.
And they're doing a wonderful job.
They are. I know that we're not going to compare this production to 10 years ago, because every production, no matter what theater or what show, is different.
Yes,
It's different. Even if you have the same team of actors and directors, 10 years later, people are at a different place. So it's going to be different. But I just remember with seeing it, you know, originally in Nashua, having just been transformed. And I literally felt like I was watching these people on stage. And that's what, for me, became just the magic of it, you know. And then we, I think you talked to me back as far as when we were at St. Marie's even about doing this. And I was like, oh, and so finally this year we said, we're going to do it. We got this new theater. So I think that, you know, and the cast is a pre-cast show, which means you've handpicked these people to make sure that you, like you said, you had the people that could physically pull off the characters as well as the acting chops. And we kind of got a who's who in acting in New Hampshire, too.
It is. And I had people, you know, I have, even though it is a small musical, it only has 8 numbers, but I even cast some people who were generally dramatic acting performers and not musical people, and brought them into the musical world. And vice versa, I have musical people doing a role where they have very little to sing, but it's like they, you know, they can fill that out. But all of these people have enormous range, every single one of them. And we even have, to kind of round it out, to play a non-singing role, the role of the sailor that will come up later on. But he has never been on stage before. He has been on stage as a dancer. He has never been on stage as an actor, and he's doing a terrific job.
That's, wow.
And that's Sam Durfee. You're
that's
talking
Sam
about.
Durfee, yep. Yes, yeah, from Concord.
And so, we also have, like, I know Dennis Brunel, who's in our ensemble, said he hasn't done a show for many, many years.
That's
he took
right.
a break from it. You know, and then obviously we have other veterans in there. Michael Coppola, who I think is in Florida part of the year now. Is
yes,
that
he is.
Right? Okay, but, so we're lucky we got
I think
in just
the
before,
day we close. He's the next morning.
Him.
He's on.
I don't
a plane.
Blame him because it's already really, really cold. So it's,
he's regretting staying.
So I looked at our website and I had copied a bunch of the quotes, the press quotes from the production you did in L.A. And one of them is the Los Angeles, L.A. Times actually gave you a magical, side-splitting musical parody, wickedly funny.
Yes, they did. We got some wow. wonderful reviews.
Well, and it's funny.
The Hollywood Reporter said it was a true Hollywood treat.
Yes. Yeah. We were very lucky to get good papers in, especially because we ran 2 years. If they missed it the first year, they went, I'm going next year, and they did. So that was good.
And I'll tell you, you know, this is one of those shows that I'll tell you, the people that miss it are going to be like, oh, I wish I had gone to see it.
Yes.
And we realize that the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, there's all kinds of stuff going on. Take a moment, you know, just to, you know, and go with a family member if you want, and just come to the theater and kind of just take a deep breath in this busy holiday season. The good thing with Judy, too, is it is early. So it's that first weekend of December. Mm-hmm. So
right. Because after a point, people don't have time.
Well, that's what it is. You just get to the point. It's like, I can only get so much in between holiday parties and this whatnot. Yeah. So talk a little bit about the rest of the cast. I know we talked about, you know, the Lillian Hellman, and we also had Glenn Gamarda's death.
Yes.
So I don't give a spoiler away here. But.
No, but there, as I said, there are elements of A Christmas Carol that come in later on in the show. And Glenn, I will say, he plays an otherworldly, uninvited guest that comes to the party. And if you know Glenn at all, you know he has the most magnificent voice you can possibly imagine. I mean, the theater resonates with his beautiful voice. And he is bringing that to us in spades, in addition to his comic timing. So we're very excited to have that. Yeah.
And then we also have Barbara Webb.
Barbara Webb is a veteran New Hampshire performer who always blows me away in such a wide range of roles. I've seen her do comedies. I've seen her do serious. I've seen her do Other Desert Cities in Nashua. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal, yep. Dramatic yep. performance.
Well. Yep.
And yet, here we have her playing Hollywood's grandest film star, yep. Joan Crawford.
And I have to tell you, during the photo night, it was so fun for me because I got to see you guys all like made up and ready. And I have to say, everybody looked really, really good.
Mm-hmm. They really
but
did.
But Barbara Webb is Joan Crawford. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought you would think it was actually Joan Crawford.
It was.
It's just... Yeah.
They all looked so tight.
They all look great. Yeah, so. Barbara was trying out wigs for weeks, and she would send me pictures online and everything. And she did her own wig and came in with it, like all the way from Plymouth,
And I think that's the thing, too, with this cast, too, and nothing against any of the actors we have, because we have actors that are brand new, and even in this show, actors that are brand new,
right.
And actors that have done dozens and dozens of shows. But when I look at the cast list of this, I'm thrilled because I look at people that are very serious about what they do, meaning that they're not going to take building these characters and playing these people lightly.
No.
They're going to do a really good job with the research and making sure that they've got those mannerisms. I remember having a conversation with you years ago about the Christine Frydenberg, who played your Judy 10 years ago, and how much work you put into making sure she had the mannerisms.
Mm-hmm.
Do you just know all of them from writing the show, or what's the?
Well, it was fun. When we wrote the show, a part of our research was basically to learn to kind of improv them. So my writing partner and I would often like go out to lunch or we'd sit in the living room and just shoot things back and forth as the characters. Now, most of it you throw away, whatever, and other things you write down and then throw away the next day. But we really kind of, you almost felt as though they were speaking through you at times, when you're, it's the same thing when you're doing an improv scene.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it came to us that way. I must say in the writing room, most of the show was improv. It came out of little things playing back and forth together. We did do a lot of research in terms of books, in terms of video and movies, things like that. But it really was a matter of working it out and saving the things that we liked. So, yeah.
Very, very mm-hmm. cool. If you're just joining us, we're talking with members of the production of Judy's Scary Little Christmas, happening at the Majestic Studio Theater, December 5th through the 8th. Tickets at www.majestictheater.net or give us a call at 669-7469. Judy's Scary Little Christmas is an outrageous spoof of holiday TV specials from yesteryear and a look behind the scenes at the stars they featured. Bing Crosby, Ethel Merman, and Liberace all join Judy Garland to ring in the holidays, while cameos of Joan Crawford, Richard Nixon, and Lillian Hellman all add spice to the punch. 8 musical numbers performed by a cast of 14 make this clever parody an affectionate look back at the golden age of television and a delightful holiday show for today's audiences. So definitely come and see this show. So what are some things that have happened? Because obviously a lot of the people on the show have worked together with each other before. What are some funny moments that we could talk about on the radio about putting this show together? I always ask those behind the scenes questions, stuff that you can share on the radio. Just funny little moments. I mean, you guys are doing a lot of laughing when I hear you guys in there, which is great.
Yes. And some of that is just people seeing someone play a scene, or mm-hmm. doing a little twist that they hadn't heard before and falling apart. Or sometimes we'll add someone new who is only in, whatever, that hasn't been there for a few nights, and they come in and they see a new section. So I really can't think of a specific, or not for the radio, things that happen.
Yes.
There's a lot of funny things
and
happen.
And this show, you said earlier, this show, we are putting a PG on this show.
Right.
And because there is some adult comedy. It's nothing that anyone's going to be offended of. But obviously, if you have a 5-year-old or an 8-year-old, bring them to Elf.
Yeah.
That's the better choice of the two shows for them. So we just do that because, we just want to make sure people know what to expect. But don't let the PG, if you're an adult, definitely don't let the PG scare you away, because by all means, there's nothing in it that's going to
affect
you. No.
What's probably the biggest challenge, Jim, of putting a show like this together, would you say?
Well,
I have to interrupt you for a second to make sure people know that Jim is doing the direction.
Yes.
He's helping produce it.
Mm.
He's helping with the underwriters.
Mm.
He's doing the set.
Mm.
He's an award-winning set designer.
So many pieces. And actually, if you go back in our programs, unfortunately online, the programs aren't listed of what they are. But I remember you were on a couple of years ago talking talking about sets. We're going to get you back on this talk about sets at some point.
I would say that the hardest part is working full time and doing it.
Yeah.
You know, that's making me, that is not easy. So that is a challenge. Luckily, I think I'm counting the days. I have like 12 more days, and then I'm off for like, you know, whatever, 14 days or something. So I'm looking forward to that. But yes, it has been a challenge. The set is not too hard because I'm pulling a lot of borrowing from different groups, including Majestic, including Community Players. Some of the are pieces that I've designed before for other shows, and I know that they're right for this show because it's basically like a 1959 TV special, and I know pieces, furniture, walls, things like that that I can borrow and pull together. And then
you
some
got,
of it,
I hope you pulled all that stuff before the big purge.
Oh yeah, okay, good. And but I have my name on things exactly. Yeah. But that's going to help a lot. So that's really, really good.
Didn't you have something from a high school?
Yes, I needed some special flats built, and I was kind of putting all my schedule together. I thought, you know, they have this big theater program now, and I know they do great tech theater there. I mean, if you've never seen a show, the sets are amazing. And so I thought, this would be a great thing for them to do in the fall, for the kids to get together. Let's build some flats, you know? Mm-hmm. So I went to them, and they said, absolutely, yeah. I mean, we have to pay cost for it, whatever it costs. But they built it all, and I just saw the pictures yesterday. It's all done. It's all base coated.
Yeah,
it's incredible. So I'm picking it up
now,
Saturday.
Now, who's the teacher?
It was Clint Close.
It is Clint Close. I didn't want to say the wrong name.
John Hattab is their tech
now,
person.
Now, Clint Close does a lot with R&B, right?
He does a lot with R&B.
Another
exactly.
great theater in the Concord area. And I have to make sure I shout out to Community Players of Concord because we do so many shows that it's the support that the Community Players of Concord give us through costumes
correct.
And set pieces and furniture. It's just, we can't put a price on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to say, check out the Community Players, the communityplayersofconcord.org.
Yes, that's
okay.
Great.
They are doing Sweet Charity, and the good thing is it's not the same weekend as a Majestic show, so, but check out Sweet Charity. They're doing a Neil Simon season this year. Check out Sweet Charity. It happens the weekend before Thanksgiving weekend and
right.
At the Concord City Auditorium. So thank you to Concord, and thank you to also Clint Close at
mm-hmm,
Concord
absolutely.
High School.
Absolutely.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it's great because it also ties into trying to... you know, like you said, the kids are learning about
mm-hmm.
set building and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that. And I saw the pictures you posted, and they're just great
terrific.
Stuff.
Yeah. So we're very lucky with all the things that we can pull together. I do want to do a shout out to our costume people, Karen McGraw and Tammy Jameson. Incredible team. And we have Amelia Laranger helping them be a dresser backstage. So we got a terrific team
yeah.
together. They've been pulling things together for weeks already. And as you can see from the photo shoot, if you go on Facebook, you'll see these amazing pictures.
The photos came out beautiful.
They did, yeah.
And definitely, you know, Anne obviously helped, and Kat,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
hair and makeup, and
yes,
Michael Redlick as our photographer.
Yep.
It's, you know, I have to say, I'm a little jealous of this show because you have the type of support team on this show that I wish we could have on every show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do so many shows, it gets tough to be able to do that, but it's nice to have that support team, and we got really just the top-notch people. So what else should we tell people that will make them want to come and see this show, either one of you?
Well, I'll toot Jim's horn, because
okay.
I think it's really funny. The writing is funny and sharp, and it's clever, and it's fast-paced, and there's definitely story arcs and character arcs that, you know, they have resolutions, and there's funny moments, there's dramatic moments, there's heart-touching moments, and I can't say enough about the cast. These are award-winning community actors, and they are really good. I feel very happy to share the stage with them all, and lucky to call them my friends. But the level of commitment, and I think that's how you make it funny too, is you have to take your role seriously, because if you don't, then if you're doing somebody who is a real person, then it becomes a caricature. But these people are not doing that. They're coming across seriously funny because they're seriously feeling like, I'm Richard Nixon and I'm not doing a joke version. I'm not doing a joke version of Bing Crosby. I'm not extra mincy doing Liberace. It's like they're really trying to be these people, you know.
And I think it elevates the production too.
It does.
And you know, because otherwise it just becomes camp.
Correct.
Yeah. And it's not camp.
It's not.
Not at all. Yeah, it's exactly. Very heartwarming to me.
Although it is a spoof, as the show goes on, there are moments that are sensitive and touching and real. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, so you want to have a little bit of heart. So you get to laugh at these celebrities, the things we know about them. We know their history, mm-hmm. but also we get to empathize with them, and there's a wonderful Christmas feeling at the end. I mean, there's a beautiful Christmas resolution. There's a big kind of brassy, showbizzy production number at the end, and which is just, you know, dazzling, but yet it's rewarding because the show all comes to that place, comes together. So.
And these are all flawed individuals mm-hmm. in their personal lives, mm-hmm. but they're still played in a way that we all understand that we're also flawed and they're likable. You're still rooting for them, mm-hmm. even though we discuss their foibles and their shortcomings. It's not like when you're watching Seinfeld and those characters are so repugnant and you can't sympathize with them. These are beloved Hollywood icons, mm-hmm. or you know, other parts of you know, celebrity world, but everything is played to come to a nice resolution, and
you can't dismiss them. You can't dismiss them. They were real people,
yep.
and they have real feelings. And if you're going to enjoy their art, you know, you also have to somehow accept that they're giving you a gift as well. You know, as performers, and I think that's part of what the show is about. But it really is a funny, funky alternative show. If you want something different, this is the show to see. And older people love it because they know the history
of
these people, and younger mm-hmm. people like it because it is very quick and sharp and fast and clever. And I think, if I may say, and
you may.
And they get surprises out of it. Everyone gets surprises out of it.
Yeah,
so good.
And so we're talking with production members of Judy's Scary Little Christmas, happening at the Majestic Theater, at our studio theater on Page Street, December 5th through the 8th. Tickets at www.majestictheater.net or 669-7469. Talking to Kath Palmer, who's playing the role of Lillian Hellman. Yes, that Lillian Hellman. And we are playing. Talking to Jim Weber.
Stop Googling while we're talking.
Yeah, Jim Weber, who is playing the role of pretty much everything. No, Jim is directing. He also is one of the writers of the show, as well as designing the set and doing a bunch of other things for it as well. So definitely catch this show. I think you're going to have a great time. Get your tickets. Both of our Christmas shows are doing very, very well. I tell you that because we want to make sure you get to see the tickets. So don't wait until the day before if you can help it. Get your tickets now for them so that you know you're guaranteed the seats. And in the last few minutes, I was not going to bring up the Judy Garland movie because I have not seen it yet. But I've heard mixed things. Have either one of you seen it?
Yes, I've seen it, yeah.
Our show is going to be much better than the movie, I bet.
I couldn't compare them at all.
Oh, okay. Two different things.
So, yeah,
okay.
Totally.
All right, good. All right, good.
It's fish and oranges, you know?
Well, there you go. But I do have some Judy Garland trivia, though.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
So I have a couple of trivia questions for you, and I want to see if you guys know some of these. And I have a feeling Jim's going to know some of these.
Oh, he better. I mean, I'm going to take your card back if you don't get
it. All right. So they're multiple choice, but I'm not going to give you the multiple choice at first.
All right. Do we have buzzers we can ring in?
No, you can just yell out. You don't even have to raise your hand.
And slam on this. And Facebook Live post-it
people,
notes.
If you're playing at home with the home game on Facebook Live, you can also chime in. What was Judy's birth name?
Frances Gum.
Oh,
nice.
Very good.
Okay.
Her birth name was Frances Ethel Gum because mm-hmm. she was named after both her parents, Frances Frank and Ethel Gum.
Mm-hmm.
How many siblings did Judy Garland have? 2, 4, 1, or 7?
I would say 2.
2 is correct.
Yeah.
Boy, Jim, you're just like going
fire and fuego.
Smoking.
Woo!
What was the name of Judy's son?
Joey.
Joey is correct. Wow, Jim. Oh, you're so quick.
Whew.
How many times was Judy married? 1, 2, 3, or 5? Anyone?
3?
5?
5 is correct.
5?
She was married 5 times. Her husbands were David
them?
Rose.
Oh, there we go.
Okay, who else?
David Rose, Vincent Minnelli,
yep.
Mark Herron,
right.
Sid Luft,
yep.
and Mickey Dean.
Wow.
Woo!
Okay.
Man, you gotta think that you like know something about Judy Garland or something. I'm telling you.
I don't need a card.
A sad question, but how old was she when she died?
Oh, 47.
47 is mm-hmm. correct. I didn't
That's
realize
the only one I knew.
When I printed this out, I didn't realize she did. I remember her being young,
yeah.
but I don't remember her.
Yeah,
being
I didn't.
Young.
I actually, when you look at her, you didn't think she was that young. I thought she was probably 59.
Sure.
And 50.
Yeah.
Which of these films did Judy not star in? The Pirate, The Wizard of Oz, Summer Stock, or Gone with the Wind?
Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind is correct.
Gone with
that
the
was
Wind.
That was an easy
What state was she born in?
What
state was Judy born in?
A state of disarray.
No, that's not a state. Well, maybe it is right now, but. Is it Wyoming, Minnesota, Montana, or California?
One more time, sorry.
Wyoming, Minnesota, Montana.
Minnesota
is correct.
Yeah. Really?
Judy was born in Minnesota. Her parents ran a movie theater that featured vaudeville acts and being vaudevillians themselves. And that's what got Judy involved at a young age. Did not know that. Now I'm going to ask you about her daughter because you know that one. I know everyone knows that one. How about, I have to make sure I don't give the answer first here. At what age did Judy sign a contract with MGM?
Ooh, I would say maybe like 14?
I was going to guess 14.
You were close, 13.
Oh.
Although signed at an early age, Judy was actually dropped from MGM in 1950 for absences and other issues.
That they probably caused.
Last one. Judy was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Actress for her role in which of the following movies? Meet Me in St. Louis, Babes on Broadway, For Me and My Gal, or A Star is Born?
A Star is Born.
A Star is Born is correct. Jim, you are like 100%. You know?
Tell him he's wrong, Don Pardo.
See, there you go.
So
I
did the benefit of stigmas. Congratulations.
That this writer knows everything about Judy Garland.
He does.
So now we're going to do Bing Crosby. No, just kidding.
Kath, you're on.
And then Lillian Hellman. So thanks for coming in today to talk about the show, guys. I really, really hope people come and see this show. It's going to be a lot of fun. It is playing, like I said, five performances over four days. We don't typically do that heavy, but the schedule's full, so we're definitely doing that. And I will tell you, if you do not come and see this show, you're going to really, really regret it.
Because you will hear about it.
You will hear
you will
about
hear
the show
us.
After.
You will hear.
You know? And Majestic, we do so many shows every year. And they're all good shows. I always say they're all good shows. Some are great shows. Some are phenomenal shows.
But not all shows are shown every year.
And that's what it is.
True.
I've been waiting a long time to see this myself. So I'm
and I actually,
excited.
And I will say I have people, too, that have also called and said, geez, you know, we've waited for this show to come around. And people even within the theater community. So I really think, like I said, get your tickets in advance because they are going quick.
Funny, poignant,
sure
charming, musical theater.
Musical
it's
theater.
It's got it all.
With laughs.
With laughs. Pyrotechnics. Who knows what's going to happen? You don't know.
So definitely
you
come and see Judy's Scary Little Christmas, December 5th through the 8th, Majestic Studio Theater, 880 Page Street. Our studio theater only seats about 160, so that's another reason to get your tickets. It's very intimate, so that you know that you get your entry. And you can get them online at www.majestictheater.net or 669-7469. We've already put our whole season out there. If you go to our website and click on the calendar, you'll see the 6,523 shows that we have planned over the next over the next 6 months to 8 months. And lots of great stuff happening at the Majestic Theater. Thank you for listening. Thank you for those of you on Facebook Live that are joining us today and that actually well, laughed at me at the beginning as I moved the camera 16,000 times. We'll get it right eventually, I promise. Have to give a shout out to Peter White in the morning show, who always make sure that they promote the Majestic Theater, and we really appreciate that. You can catch their show on Facebook Live, also on WNH every morning, Monday through Friday, from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., and definitely check out Peter and Daryl and all of their derelicts, as some of them, because it's a great show, and I think you'll enjoy it. So remember, the world's a stage, and music is the voice of the soul, and we will see you next time.